Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life. Well, hey, traveling partners. Welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am Rex Gorman. I'm sitting here with...
I'm Darren Larson.
And we have two very special guests with us today. Very special guests. Who are you?
My name is Rosanna Opperman.
Mm-hmm. And?
I'm Laura Hunter.
And you guys are related, right?
This is my daughter.
Yes, exactly. Just wanted to add some context there.
Laura is the daughter.
Laura is the daughter. That's right.
For those who aren't watching the podcast right now.
Yeah, exactly. Or who are not good at picking out voices.
Yeah, exactly.
Darren, I've been told that some people can't tell us apart when we're there on the podcast, which is kind of strange. So
I like your voice.
I like your voice. So
wow.
We could switch for a day.
This is an awkward moment.
I know. We're having another imprint moment. Anyway. We're excited. We're a couple episodes into the podcast this year, and we're treating it a little differently than we have before. It's a little more episodic, but we've got some exciting stuff coming down the line. And Darren, why don't you talk about a little bit about what's happening?
Yeah, so this podcast kind of harkens back to what we did last year with the Word of Their Testimony series, where we had people from our church family come in and share a little bit about their testimony and what God was doing in their lives from their birth until now. Like, how did Jesus save them?
Yeah,
what their life in Christ was like. And so what we're kind of doing is that we're going to be doing that throughout this year and bringing people in from our congregation that still want to do this. Because actually what's been really fun is we've gotten some emails from people saying, hey, I'm willing to tell my story now.
Yeah.
And so so that's a cool part. So it's nice to have Rosanna and Laura here sharing the story. Theirs is a very specific story we'll get to in just a minute.
Yeah.
But then we're going to do some other episodic ones, like episodic ones.
Episodic,
like
you said.
Yeah.
I know, like 2 years ago, it's funny, 2 years ago, we did something called The Cutting Room Floor, which people loved. And we listened to our listeners so much that we waited a whole year.
All the 10 of them.
There are dozens of us. but we listened to both of our listeners to say, yes, we'll do that again. I know next week we're doing something akin to what we did a couple years ago with The Cutting Room Floor.
Yeah,
want to say something about that? Or?
Yeah, no, I mean we'll talk about some things in the sermons that we weren't able to get to. So so you'll probably hear some of that going forward. We even have like that one's going to be specifically about suffering and and dealing with kind of the broken world and how it affects Christians and our response to that. But there's other ones that are coming up, like maybe mini series, if you will, that I saw. We have one that would be really fun that
Tom McGregor has fun ideas.
So that's kind of where we're going.
Yeah. Well, that's great. But today we are going to listen. We're going to hear from Rosanna and Laura about a story, a way that their life was affected. First of all, who are you guys? How long have you been around Imprint Church? Mm-hmm. And where are you? Where were you from? Where were you born? That kind of thing. So, Rosanna, you want to go first?
Sure. I'm trying to think. This is 23.
That's right.
So I believe we came to the church. I was in the early stages of my cancer treatment. So that would have been in 20. But we really started attending regularly in 21.
Okay.
And I'm from Southern California,
okay,
from a small little pocket called Pico Rivera.
Wow.
And that's where I was born and raised. I'm a Southern California girl.
Gotcha. And you wanted to get as far away from the sun as possible, so you came up here.
That's right.
So Laura, where were you also born in Southern California then?
Yeah, so I was born in Sacramento, NorCal, which is totally different than Southern Cal. Yeah.
What's funny, because like people talk about NorCal, but it's really like halfway up Cal when talking about San Francisco or whatever. So
not to be confused with SoCal, because it's just a different, we're just better.
Awesome.
Wait, is NorCal's better than SoCal or the other way around?
Absolutely.
Okay, NorCal's makes sense.
So born and raised in Sacramento and then went to school in Hawaii and Spain and Washington, and then got married in Oregon, and then my husband and I moved up here 7 years ago. We started attending Imprint in 2019, but that's right when my mom's cancer journey started. So we were pretty sporadic during that time. And then 2020, of course, hit. So really, it feels like we've been at Imprint maybe a year and a half.
Okay. Yeah.
Considering the timeline.
Awesome. So yeah, you span the entire West Coast then. That's awesome.
Did a job bring you up to Seattle originally? Is that what it was? A job?
Yeah, my husband's
job. Your husband's job. Okay. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. You like it up here?
Yeah, I do. It's quite the change from Sacramento. Sacramento is you know, is beautiful like in its own right, but it's there's something about the mountains and the forests and the water here and the fresh air. So
yeah, it is gorgeous here. Although the Northern California area is beautiful,
as well. Yes, 100%.
It's a different thing altogether.
True Northern California, like way North California, is also very pretty, but it's a different kind of vibe.
But Redding is like either it can be so hot there.
Yeah,
it's so weird. Yeah. Like that's a crazy
place. Same with Sacramento.
Sacramento, same way.
Yeah, really hot. Yeah.
Well, I know, you know, you both have alluded to a cancer journey. And this past Sunday, we actually had you come up and share about a ministry that you guys are starting called God Can. Mm-hmm. So what we wanted to do, this isn't going to be like a big, long, you know, 45-minute, hour-long necessarily plug for that. But we want to hear the story behind that because we think that's powerful. We've, you know, we're aware of what's happened, but we want to share that with our congregation. So why don't we start at the beginning of this specific journey, and we can kind of walk through that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I out of the blue in 2019, I learned that I had stage 4 renal carcinoma, which is kidney cancer, and they did not give me any hope. And my symptoms were very strange because I felt fine. Just like you folks are right now.
Yeah.
But my iron level was dropping regularly in my blood. And so one of my doctors said to me, "Rosanna, we need to have you see an oncologist because this is typically a sign for cancer."
I mean, that's a scary sentence. "We need to have you see an oncologist."
Oh, yes. Scary sentence. It was just like hitting me in the face.
Did you catch this at an annual exam? Is that how you caught it? Or was it?
No. Okay. They were giving me iron infusions, my regular doctor. They were having me on iron supplements. You know, they were trying to address this, my GP and then different specialists that I went to. But they couldn't figure out what was going on.
Gotcha.
And so they
probably thought it was just like some kind of normal anemia or something.
Yes.
You were just
exactly
low on iron. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. When I was diagnosed, I was not given any hope. And Laura was helping us in Monterey, and we all were praying for direction because my daughter and my son knew about the result of the diagnosis. And I always believed that the Lord would heal me, but that I needed to do his will.
Yeah.
And so that's a big picture. So on September 30th, that's like a month and a half later, we flew to Seattle for homeopathic treatment, and I had 3 appointments, and the recommendation that the cancerous kidney be removed. And those things weren't recommended in California.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And so my dad passed away from stomach cancer.
Oh, man. Okay.
And then it's in his family, cancer.
So this wasn't the first wave of cancer that you had to deal with. This is something that you're familiar with, both as someone who's had cancer and then someone who's walked with someone with cancer.
Yes.
Okay.
And I feel very proactive about my health. Mm. You know, there's a whole world of medical professionals out there working hard to try to help us. Right. And so I felt very strongly about following the naturopathic approach, which is very strong here. And in California, it's private. You know, you can have that support, but it's all private, like private pay.
Exactly.
And here, my insurance covered it.
Yeah, I know there's a lot more practices up here homeopathic. There's actually I know a few people in our church who are working towards being homeopaths, so that's crazy. You don't think about that again when you're used to something. So
not until you have a journey like this,
you
know, and that you're faced with that. So I saw 2 doctors in 2 days, and then I met with a surgeon on another day, and he said to me, "Rosanna, I like you." He says, "Is Tuesday soon enough for me to operate?" And I met with him on Thursday, and I just started crying because he just said, "Is this soon enough?" He said, "I'm going to move my patients for you." And there was just a connection between, you know, the spirits, because I just know the Lord did this consistently for me. And so, of course, I was thrilled to have the large, because when you have stage four, you have cancer in four parts of your body. Mm. And so I had cancer on my thyroid, cancer, like 2-inch masses, two of them. And then on my pancreas, the same thing. Mm. And then I also had it on my lungs. And then, of course, my entire left kidney was full of cancer. And he said, it's going to take me a while, Rosanna, but I want to remove this, you know, from you. And I was crying. I said, thank you. Thank you so much. Because I just felt very strongly that that was the beginning of what needed to happen here.
Yeah. Can I ask you, Laura, during this time, like, so your mom mentioned that back in 2019, before the September moment, you had mm-hmm. heard about the cancer diagnosis with your brother. Like, kind of, can you share a little bit about what your response was in that moment?
Yeah. Well, you know, I had a 1-year-old at home, and I was in with some friends. We were planning on starting a preschool co-op together. Like, my world was very much around my littles and being home with them. And you just kind of think your parents are always going to be there. And So when my mom called and said, hey, you know, I'm supposed to go to an oncologist, and we were very close, even though we lived 2 states away at the time, I knew she was going to an oncologist. I thought, okay, let's just hope and pray this is nothing. It's just going to pass. And then the next phone call was, okay, they found cancer. Mm. We're going to see what stage it is. And then I was, of course, talking with my husband throughout this whole process, and his first response was, okay, your mom, with her diagnosis, is not supposed to be around here this time next year. So how do you want this next 8 months to go? Mm-hmm. And I'll support you whatever you decide. And I said, I need to be there for all of it.
Yeah,
I need to, this might be my last Thanksgiving. This may mm-hmm. be my last Christmas, mm-hmm. my last time I spend, you know, celebrate my son's birthday with my mom. Totally. And so it was like, okay, rarely do you have the opportunity to kind
to
of
know
to
that.
Know.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, well, this is it. So I, you know, we pulled out of co-op. I just dropped everything.
Yeah.
And I flew down to Monterey where my mom was and dad were living. And I just said, okay, I'm here with my kids. And Ryan, yeah, hello. Ryan was here holding, my husband was holding down the fort here while I was away. And I just went down for an indefinite amount of time, knowing that I was just there to support their journey, whatever that looked like.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. And was your brother close to you at that time? Where did he live?
He lived in Sacramento. So okay. It's right. About 3-4 hours from Monterey.
Okay. Okay.
Enough for to drive over for
still
the weekend.
Still accessible. And yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was very, very comforting to have them there.
Yeah, I believe that.
Because
yeah.
I you know, when you hear a diagnosis like this, you're just, I was just blank. Like,
yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, what is this? What is going on? And then when they told me I was palliative, then I'm going, okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hear that word very clearly,
yeah.
You know, and then I was given 8 months to live. So
sorry to interrupt.
No, it's okay.
I know you said, like, when you get bad news like that, the world sort of stops.
It does.
And mm-hmm. I've had, you know, those phone calls where the world just stops and stands
yes.
still. How long did it take you from hearing the word palliative to thinking, or, you know, praying and thinking, I think I need to do something about this, mm-hmm. or I think I need to try to do something about that? How long was that space?
Pretty quickly.
Okay.
That's the kind of person I am. I immediately go into, okay, what am I going to do?
Okay.
And of course, then I start praying fervently, God, I knew that there was global advances in cancer all over the world,
mm-hmm.
And then my husband, I was concerned about the finances because you have to pay for all yeah. this out of pocket, and I thought, okay,
that'd make you broke it living in California. I mean, if you didn't have insurance to cover this,
it would.
You'd be bone dry with
and
money.
And people, that's why people, honestly, they die because mm-hmm. they can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I found out that Washington accepted our secondary, I was just thrilled beyond, I don't know how to say it, beyond mm-hmm. comprehension mm-hmm. that I could go here and have excellent naturopathic support, because especially most of these people are from Bastyr, which
yeah.
is
yeah.
excellent, excellent, nationally known naturopathic university.
Mm-hmm.
So I had immunotherapy, which consisted of two things. They're Optivo and Yervoy, and they're IV drips, and you get them. And I had to get them slowly because when you do it at the regular rate, my muscles would all cramp. And I'm just really sensitive to any drug.
Any drug.
I get all the side effects. And so I had three treatments of those, but I started having cramps, temperature regulation issues. I remember going to Laura's house one day telling her, I'm freezing. And she covered me in blankets, put the heater up, and I was just still freezing, and I couldn't get warm. And I had delirium. They said hallucinations was part of it, and that was very real. I didn't know where I was, what was going on.
That's scary.
And this was all side effects from medications. Crazy.
Yes.
But these medications were also helping you at the same time, or do you know?
They did.
They did. Okay.
They did help me, but my body just, it was just hard for my body to accept the, how do you say it, the dosages that were needed to address the cancer.
Because
the cancer was bad.
Well, and they didn't retest for where the if it was helpful or not until you finished the full regimen. So we didn't know at the time.
Yeah, in the middle of that, you might you're thinking this could be for nothing. Man, that's difficult. Right. That's really difficult.
Yeah,
and it's true that almost every person responds differently to medications and chemos and all that kind of stuff. And so at some point, do you have to kind of listen to your body, like to what your body's saying and kind of
For me, because as soon as that kidney was removed, then I was healing for a month before they started the immunotherapy and the pain. It was like 28 staples across my abdomen. I had never had pain like that. And that, I had to take very strong medications to be able to relax, which are narcotics, and I don't like taking any of that. And I felt in my heart very clearly that God had me here, and that God had provided a support with my daughter to be here, and then the fact of these excellent oncologists. I just, you know, as you read about people and their training, it was very humbling to know that they were treating me. And even though it was considered a rare cancer in 19, when I initially came here, now it's not considered rare. And praise the Lord that people are getting cured now with the immunotherapy.
So you mentioned, you know, again, in the middle of this, hoping, praying that this medication is actually doing something. And both of you can answer this.
Yes.
In the middle of those painful moments, how did you kind of hold on to hope in those moments? Like what was it that helped you keep going? Because again, at this point, you're experiencing side effects. You've had this major surgery. There's a lot of pain involved with that. There's pain involved with the side effects. And then you're having to take narcotics, which is an uncomfortable thing. All this stuff is just crazy.
It is crazy.
So how are you after, again, not many months after finding out you have cancer, how are you holding on to hope in the middle of this giant unknown?
What gave me the immediate comfort was I love music. I mean, I love music and Christian music. And the Lord just kept bringing me to Casting Crowns. And I just felt like it was the Lord telling me, I am with you through this storm. Hold my hand. Don't let go. And then, of course, my family was with me, and I could feel their love. And then I knew a lot of people were praying for me, and I rested in that because I needed all of that. And my son, who's done international missions work, in Africa, he said, Mom, I've got people across the world praying for you. And I told him, thank you. Thank you. And I could feel it. I could feel that how do you say it? The presence of the Holy Spirit, you know, yeah, trying to comfort me.
A peace that surpasses understanding.
Amen.
Is, yeah.
Amen.
What it says in Scripture. So.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. Laura, what was that like for you to watch? Just because I know I've talked with, like, this is a different, every journey is different, but I've talked to Tom Regan about his cancer journey, and
yes,
his doctor is describing the surgery they're going to do where they're going to be millimeters from crucial brain tissue, and he's like smiling his ears off and like beaming because he's just that crazy supernatural piece. But then, you know, someone who is not Tom Regan, who is also in the room, is terrified and not sure what's going to happen, what's going on. So what was your experience watching your mom go through this?
Yeah, I hoped that what the Lord had told her was true, that he was going to heal her, and what he had spoken to her heart, because I didn't know that. And I thought, okay, well, her healing might end up in heaven. And so as a family member watching her journey, I just thought, okay, Lord, this is, I'm here, and I'm here for the roller coaster, and however this leads, you know, just give me peace and help me just to have wisdom to know how to help and support, and also you know, lead my kids during that time who were also watching the journey firsthand.
Yeah.
But it was scary. It's definitely very scary.
Yeah, I believe it. All right, so you've had the surgery at this point. You are in the immunotherapy. Let's pick that story back up then.
Yes.
You know, you're taking, you've had to take narcotics just to help relax and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So on January 26th, after 3 immunotherapy treatments, my body shut down and I was dying. I remember it. I was just laying in the bed face down, and my 3 kids had come to see me. And my son, who's a PA in California, said, "Mom, we've got to take you to ER." And I just said, "Thank you." But I could feel my body separating.
Gosh.
And I just knew, you know, I was at the end. And so I was transported to Evergreen, and there was one bed left. And that was right also when COVID broke out.
Yeah, because this is January 2020, right? That's what you're talking about. Yep.
So it was pure chaos in the hospitals, plural. And I continued there to have many relapses. And COVID, I have down COVID patients had started arriving at the hospital, and spiritual attacks continued. But they were resolved pretty much when my son anointed me with oil. He said, "Mom, I want to do this." And I said, "Thank you. Thank you so much." And he anointed me with prayer and oil. And so I entered the hospital in January, and then on March 28th, I was released from the hospital, and I flew to Sacramento, and Josh and his wife opened their home to me. And at that time, I was using a walker, and I had edema, which is severe swelling in your legs. And I was very weak. I had lost 100 pounds because my throat, I wasn't able to swallow. So I could just swallow very little, and which wasn't a bad thing for me. I was overweight. That's anyway.
but were you able to walk and stuff during the day, or were you just like totally bedridden during that time?
I was pretty much bedridden, and I would get up and then try to walk, but my legs would give out. So I was very, very weak.
Gosh.
But we just, we knew that it was time for me to just, you know, be done and leave the hospital and recover somewhere. And so I received home house care until April 17th, and then I was transferred to an assisted living facility. And then in July, so we were in that facility a couple of months, and then in July, my husband and I went to independent living at the same location. And I was determined to get strong. I said, "We've got to walk every day." And my husband is wonderful. He knows, you know, as my children know, you've got to push these bodies, you know. And so I was using a walker and a wheelchair, and I started walking, you know, up to 2 miles a day at that time.
That's great.
And then we felt then that the Lord wanted us to go, because we have a home in Monterey that that I had left in 19, and people had driven by it and had walked around it, and but basically it had been sitting, you know, for that whole time, and I just was concerned for all the things that could happen to a home, you know, and so I said to my husband, we need to go to that home and make a decision here, and so we rented a car. After I was strong enough to be pretty mobile, and start driving just around the neighborhood where we were at, just to see if I could handle a vehicle. Mm-hmm. And praise the Lord, I told my husband, we can do this.
Okay.
And so we drove the 3.5 hours. We started driving to Monterey, and just felt without any doubt that we were supposed to sell that home and move near one of our kids. Hmm. And the Lord didn't tell me which one. He just said, you need to move north. And Laura, Washington's north of California.
That's right,
and then we have a son at the North Pole in Alaska.
Okay.
And I just said, okay, God.
That's real north.
That's real?
Yeah, that's very north.
And so we needed to liquidate the house, and that took us, like, I think I put down 17 weeks.
Mm-hmm. When did you know you were going to live? Like, you go into you go into care where you're basically, you thought you were going to die. I mean, you said you felt your spirit leaving your body. When did you go, I'm still going to live here? What was that like?
I received the news, let me see.
Mom's reading some of her testimony.
Yeah.
That's what the silence is.
Yeah.
I believe that I received the news. I'm not seeing it right here, but I know I received it soon after I went to my son's home.
Okay.
And I just, you just weep so much.
Yeah.
Because what they said about the cancer in the CT and the MRI, it's that it had appeared that it had been surgically removed, and it's just astonishing. And
you got that news in Sacramento, is that right? You were in Sacramento at that
time.
Yes,
I was.
You were in for another doctor visit, a cancer care visit, I imagine. Is that what happened?
Well, I heard from Dr. Chu, my oncologist here. He said, Rosanna, your cancer is gone.
Hmm. Huh.
And he said, it's on your results that are on the portal. And so then I downloaded those results, and I didn't know that it had said that.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
It was just overwhelming and wonderful and joyous.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
but the timeline says to me that you were still kind of recovering at that point.
I was physically very, very weak.
You were not doing well.
Mm-mm,
yeah,
mm-mm.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't eat very well either. Huh. So I knew that the part of my journey that I was in now was post-cancer, and I needed to regain my strength. And I knew in my heart that I was a strong woman physically before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that all of that what I was displaying had to do with the side effects of all the different treatments that I had.
Laura, what was that phone call like for you? Because I know you said you've gotten a couple of successive phone calls where it just got darker and darker. When did you find out?
And all of a sudden there was a good one?
Yeah, when did you find out that that this was gone? And what was that like for you?
Yeah, amazing. I mean, it was, so Mom was, if I can rewind a little bit here, it was January, Mom was admitted to Evergreen, and then March was discharged. Mm. And during the January through March was very tumultuous, and I was in and out of the hospital almost every day with my kids, and whether it was 2 a.m. or 12 p.m., and it was just being the point person for being locally on call and the liaison between the hospital and my mom. And so my dad has macular degeneration, so he cannot drive. So it was a lot of times of picking him up and making sure that he was there as well. So this was just kind of a whirlwind, chaotic, like just, I was just in survival mode for those 3 months.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my mom got discharged in March of 2020 to my brother's home. It was a huge miracle because also we had been looking to get her discharged since February of 2020. And thankfully, we did not get to any nursing homes because at that time, before we knew it, because COVID.
That's where COVID was, yeah.
And the ones that we wanted to get her into, I forget the name of it. It's in Kirkland and it was close to Evergreen. And we're like, this is the top one. That's the first one.
Isn't that the one that was like ground zero of,
US, yeah.
So holy looking cow. Back, as you know, looking back my mom's journey, I'm just like, okay, wow, this is, at the time it felt like dark and bleak. And why aren't you answering this prayer, Lord?
It's so frustrating.
Of and, opening up a door for my mom to go somewhere.
And the Lord's like, this is why.
He was protecting us the whole time. And I didn't know it. And it was beautiful to see on the other side, other side of it. And then, so I'm just in go mode. And then my mom gets discharged to my brother's home in Sacramento. It was a huge blessing in the middle of COVID. And then June, I think you got the cancer-free message in June or July.
Okay.
And at that time, I was just at home, like, recovering from kind of the daily in and out of caregiving and not knowing if the journey, if all that tumultuousness had ended in a healing or if this really was the end.
Yeah.
And so when I got that phone call, I just wept with my mom. I think my whole family did, of just joy of, okay, we're just gratitude.
That's amazing. I want to come back to caregiving in just a second, but I want to ask you a question, Rosanna, about what do you think was the most helpful things that your family did when they heard the news, or your support system? It was mostly your family, your kids and your husband.
Yes.
What was it like to have support from them, and what did they do well for you in that way?
I think the most helpful is that they would call me and they would talk with me and they would visit me and they would walk with me as best that they could, you know, in the hospital. And I felt their support all the time. My son would come, and he has a traveling guitar, the son from California. And I'd say, just play praises for me. And he's got a beautiful voice. Mm-hmm. And I say, please, just play your guitar and sing to me about the Lord. And I remember so clearly feeling the Holy Spirit wrap his arms around me, that I'm with you, my daughter, I'm with you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so that was the most comforting.
Like, ministry of presence in a sense, ministry of showing up and being a support and that kind of stuff, making phone calls. And
yes, and answering me in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to go back to the caregiver side of this thing, if I can ask a question, like, what was it like being a caregiver for your mom, like, at various times? Like, what kind of things do you, like, what would you say to other caregivers right now? What did you learn in that process?
That it's really hard. And ask for help when you need it. And receive help. I tend to be a helper, so it's hard for me to receive it. Mm-hmm. But I think now I don't never turn. Almost never turn down an offer for help, because I couldn't at that time. I needed all the help. I got to the point where I was calling long distance family members that I had met when I was, you know, in middle school, saying, hey, are you,
that's amazing. Yeah.
Are you available to help in these X, Y, or Z ways? And I needed a lot of support. My mom and dad needed a lot of support, and there was only so much I could do. I had two little kids at home at the time. So I felt kind of pulled on both ends. And I had a beautiful mom group that had just showed up and just started bringing me meals and started asking how they could care for my kids. And my mother-in-law is close by as well. And she would just, you know, I'd text her. I'm like, I'm going to the hospital today. And she'd come and pick up the kids. And
that's cool.
And, I used to be more controlling in that, if that's the right word, of saying, oh, well, I need to have things done a certain way. And caring for my kids needs to be done a certain way. And that kind of all went out of the window during cancer. Because I just needed them cared for and alive and dressed and fed by the end of the day. And my baseline went
and that's
way
success,
low.
Right?
And that was success. I was very happy with that. And it allowed me to be with my mom and be that point person.
Yeah.
Super cool. So what is your desire for helping people? Like, maybe we can, unless there's more, we can talk more of the story, but I'd love to hear more about kind of what you guys, you came to us maybe a year ago, not quite a year ago. Is that right? I can't remember.
Last summer, I want to say.
Last summer. See, every all time, just,
I know.
It doesn't matter. It could have been 6 years ago. you came to us in the summer and you kind of proposed this idea of having a cancer care ministry at the church. Yeah. And I'll just, this is not my story, but if I can tell one story real quick, this was such a cool moment for me because it feels like many churches start ministries and ask their people to be involved in them, you know? And this, there was something different about this where you came and said, like, hey, we'd like to do this for our church family and our church community. We feel like we could be a big resource for it. And it was just a really cool moment to remind ourselves, like, the church is not what the professionals do. It's what the people of God do and the family and the traveling partners do, you know? And so it was super cool.
I was going to say, let's pull this back to the story a little bit just because.
I said we were going to move on, Rex. Come on. Come on.
So what do you want to talk about, Darren?
This is my testimony after all, isn't it?
So you've gotten the cancer-free phone call, which again, was said that wasn't going to happen. Said that was an impossibility. You were healed. Which is amazing, you know, surgically removed, that kind of thing. That was in 2020.
Yes.
How long? What happened? When did a snowball start in you to think like, okay, I have been through this. Maybe this is a ministry. Maybe we can walk with people through this. And how was God can birthed? What's the gap there between, again, that June, July 2020 of the you are cancer free to. To now, what happened there?
Well, once you have cancer, they test you annually.
Yes,
right.
And so there's always a reminder.
Yeah.
That cancer returns to many people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm very aware. I've lost many people that I love, and so I humbly, you know, just get my tests, and I'm thinking, God, you know what, you did this. For bigger than me and bigger than my children and my grandchildren. And what is it you want us to do with this? Mm. And when I say us, I'm just thinking of my family because my family went through this with me. Right. And I have had my oldest say, Mom, you've got to write this down. And I thought, I've got to do more than that. I've got to do more than that. And so that's where God can... Laura and I, and Laura especially said, you know, Mom, we need to help people and we need to support people. I said, that's exactly it. Mm. We need to do that. Whatever that looks like, just talking to you, listening to you, and it's not just, but it's the fact that we're going to pray with you, offer scriptures, and then the Lord actually has provided some journals to me that I'm already going to hand out, three of them with scripture references for people, because I just want them to know these scriptures of hope that we have in the Lord. And so that's where God can was birthed. And I wanted the word cancer as part of the title, and the Lord said, God can. And I love the way he speaks to me. He speaks to me in the middle of the night, and he speaks to me in the early morning, and I usually am awake.
Dreams can happen too, right?
That's right. And so we're excited. We're excited to offer this to the church and to the people here and the connections that they have with someone who has cancer and to be of support. I mean, it could be vacuuming their living room.
Yeah.
It could be picking up groceries because we have, you know, ministries in operation at the church. And, of course, we're not going to duplicate any of that. But we're going to come alongside and offer support to them. And it could just be a cup of coffee, a cup of tea regularly, just to let them talk about where they are on this journey, you know.
Yeah. But it seems like the cancer diagnosis is its own thing. It's different than normal. Like, because we do have meal train ministries. Those reach out to get a baby in your family, you have a sickness, you have something, but the cancer thing seems to be a little heavier a lot of times to need. And I appreciate how you guys said you want to come alongside the ministries of the church because you wanted to act as kind of the front lines of like, we're going to show up and just ask the questions and be a part and say, where are you at? What do you need? And how can we help place you in a place to be supported in that way. And I think that's really beautiful.
Wonderful.
What was it? And you had some people, you don't have to give any details, of course, this is a public podcast, but did you have some people respond on Sunday and kind of say they were interested?
Yes, we had three different people that were, one of them we're going to be meeting with, and I told her, you know, I have a journal for you. That's and awesome. I want, and she almost started crying. I said, you know, that helped me a lot. Was to meditate on the scripture and for the to listen to the Lord as he was, you know, encouraging me, giving me words of hope, and then two other people, connections. And so I'll be handing out those soon.
If I can ask another question, it'd be kind of interesting to know like your experience in this. Like, it seems like in your story, you've had a pretty miraculous healing, which is amazing. You know, how do you help someone have that kind of hope? They might not get the miraculous healing, you know, like what would you say to someone? Maybe you guys have some encouraging words that might, like I imagine from their story, you had to have been thinking of the worst at various times. Like, how do you, how do you handle that? Like, yes, I believe that God can heal me. Yes, he might. And yes, he does. But I'm also dealing with this internal conflict that this man and badly. Do you have any thoughts for that out of curiosity?
You know, I think when I think back to the darkest times, for me was when mom was in the ICU, I think three separate occasions at Evergreen. And I remember going and visiting her and feeling just like just the bleakness of the situation and watching the monitors and seeing, you know, hearing from the doctors that her organs were failing and knowing that this could be the last time that I'm going to, you know, be with her. And and that is really hard. And I remember just, you know, echoing my mom in that is just clinging to scripture. It was just the basics for me. I'm a theology major. I like to get into doctrine and the heady stuff, but I, in those dark times, I just needed the basics. I needed prayer. I needed scripture and I needed worship. So I would blast worship music. Probably much
get
too loudly.
Get in here. Get in, the, get in my head.
On the way to the hospital and just sing at the top of my lungs, sing like no one's listening. And just crying out to the Lord of like, this is where I'm at. Kind of reminiscent of David in the Psalms where he just is just speaking his, what's on his soul, the highs and the lows. And I just remember just laying that all before the Lord, knowing that my mom could die that night or that she could be healed or maybe the healing was coming in 3 months. I didn't know. But in those dark times, it was, just the prayer and scripture.
I like the practicality of that. Prayer and scripture and worship music.
And that's the same for me. It was the word of the word of the Lord, and then hearing praise music and then people praying with me. I loved it. I just felt so much of the presence of the Lord wrapping his arms around me in those darkest moments. And I didn't know. And I was ready. I said, you know, God, you are God. So if you want to take me home, you know, I'm ready, you know, and I was ready to accept whatever was going to happen. So I was very humbled by the news, and I still am.
How did your husband handle this kind of process too? What was it like for him as he walked through this journey with you?
Oh, poor guy. He looked terrible. Laura, how did Dad?
I mean, Dad was having heart palpitations. So my dad has had heart issues over the years. And when Mom was in and out, she was at Evergreen for the 2.5 month stay. We ended up admitting my dad at one point as well.
Oh, man.
Because there's just the stress of everything and the lack of sleep. And then I think he also got, he was maybe case two of COVID because case one came to Evergreen fourth floor. You were on the second or third floor. And he got really sick. And that was in March And I remember he was quarantining in his room and we didn't know what he had. And I remember being like, please not anything happens to my dad right now. Yeah. Because we were just at that point running, have run a marathon. And so we were just, there was nothing left at that for all of us. So I was just praying for my dad as well. He's a trooper. I mean, he's yes, in his 80s, but the youngest 83-year-old that I know.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I would tell him, I can't eat these portions. Please come eat with me if you can, so that way I could make sure that he was eating, because you know, he won't think about that at all. And so he would often show up, and I would be so happy to see him, and then he just wanted to be with me and hold my hand, and he did look terrible.
Man, it takes a toll on the health of the closest people to you.
Yeah. It does.
So how do you, and going back to hope a little bit, listening to you guys talk, it sounds like you were able to get to a spot where you had hope in the Lord, not hope for an outcome.
Yes.
But hope in the Lord.
Yes.
How do you get there? I know it's probably just what you just said. It's just hammering scripture and praise and prayer. But was there a point where that clicked for you guys, or was that something that, Rosanna, it sounds like the way that Laura has talked about it and the way that you talk about it, it seems like you were like the most peaceful person in the world through this, and everybody around you was kind of flailing. But where did like that hope in the Lord, not necessarily hope in an outcome, kind of snap into clarity?
I know at the beginning of the journey, the Lord told me, I will heal you. Hmm. And I remember it clearly. Hmm. And he told me, and he said, but you need to do my will. And I said, I'm ready, you know, and I didn't know what that meant. And so I always believed that I would be healed. Mm-hmm. And my kids would say, Mom, I hope that's what's going to happen. Yeah. And I said, I don't doubt it. Mm-hmm. I never doubted it. And so it's the Lord revealed it to me, and I'm humbled that that happened. Mm-hmm. And then he didn't change his mind.
has that happened to you at other times in your life too, besides this one where the Lord's kind of spoken to you and you believed it? Is that kind of a gift of yours? That's a spiritual gift called faith. I don't know if everyone has that, but I mean, certainly I see that in you. I mean, I'm sitting here watching you across the room, across from the table, and you know, I'm like, I'm not sure I'd trust myself in that moment. Like if the Lord said, I'm going to heal you, I'd be like, yeah, but you know. And so to hear that's really compelling. Do you feel like that's something the way the Lord's spoken to you in the past before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's given me peace in the middle of other storms.
Yeah.
And he said, it's going to be okay, my daughter. And that's an interesting statement, because that could go either way, as Laura has stated.
Yeah, the healing could be in heaven or something. Is that what you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or the outcome could be different than what I'm thinking, you know, in another circumstance of what I was praying for or what I, you know, would have wished for, you know. And so where you just say, God, you know, I lay this at your feet.
Yeah.
Thy will be done on heaven as it is in earth.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose, how do we get in touch with them, Rex? What can we do?
There's a few things. So God Can will be up on the website very soon. It should actually, by the time this podcast comes out, it will be up. It'll be up under our resources tab. You can click that. We'll have an info page about God Can and the ministry and what they're hoping for. You can reach out to both Rosanna and Laura by sending an email to godcan@imprintchurch.org. Really, you can send an email to anything at imprintchurch.org, and if it's concerning cancer, we'll make sure that it gets to them. But that's how you can reach out. What are you guys looking for? Obviously, I know you want to minister to people who are walking through this. What if there are people who hear this vision of serving people who are walking through these crazy, dire circumstances, and they think, man, I want to be a part of that. I want to be on the front lines of that. What would you say to someone who has that reaction to hearing about this ministry?
Well, both Laura and I went through a training with a national Christian group who offers training for people that are interested in supporting people with cancer.
Oh, cool.
And it's called Our Journey of Hope. And so I would be happy to offer a condensed, because it's pretty long, a couple of days long.
I was going to say, yeah, you sent us all the information on it. It was great. Mm-hmm. It looked really amazing. Was mm-hmm. it really helpful? Was
yes.
It good? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially if you weren't familiar with the journey, and we're very familiar with the journey
sure.
because of having it happen, you know, to our family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's a lot of it is making you sensitive to people that are battling mm-hmm. cancer. And so that's yeah. where I was telling Laura, you know, I don't feel that, you know, people need to go through the 2-day training,
yep.
but I could do a condensed version of it mm-hmm. and offer that initially for people that wouldn't like to come alongside. I think that's exciting.
That's
and
great.
And that to me is part of being a body and working together. Mm-hmm. For yeah. the goal of supporting people. And so I know that in the future we will be offering that.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, to reach out, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. so just reach out. Send you can, again, reach out to them. Send an email. It's godcan@imprintchurch.org. Or like I said, you can email office@imprintchurch.org, podcast@imprintchurch.org. And if it's something pertaining to cancer, the God Can Ministry, we will make sure that it gets into the right hands.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that you guys want to share and wanted to make sure that you have, you know, the floor to share whatever you might want concerning this or your journey or a word of hope for people who are in the middle of this?
I just want to say praise the Lord for all of this.
Amen.
Because I know that the Lord has healed me for a reason, and I know that this is part of the journey, is offering mm-hmm. hope to others.
Yeah.
And I looked hard for a national group, someone who's doing this as a Christian, and there was only this one.
Okay.
And I'm like, Lord, thank you. Thank you that someone else has the same heart, and we both feel it very clearly, and we're very humbled to do this, you know, in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And I'd like to add that, you know, during my mom's cancer journey, I think, you know, I would drop the C word at like playgroups or just whatever context I was in of this is what is happening right now in my family's life. And it was interesting, people's response. It was hard being on the receiving end of people's response when they hear this cancer that you know you're dealing with directly with a loved one or you yourself have cancer, because it's kind of like death. No one wants to talk about it.
Totally.
It's a hard subject, and you know, we'd all much rather feel comfortable and happy. And and it's very uncomfortable, and it's really raw and vulnerable, but that's what we're here for. It's just to come alongside, like you're saying, the ministry of presence, of just being there for it and talking about the C word and having that be something that we are ready to do. We've been there and have been through the journey, and are here to come support in whatever way that looks.
That's awesome.
That is super helpful. Thank
you. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. It's amazing to hear what the Lord has done and then what the Lord is going to continue to do through this, you know, this diagnosis that that the Lord chose to prove wrong. So I'm so glad he did, and I'm so looking forward to seeing what the Lord does through you guys. So might have to have a report or something on the future. I don't know. We'll pump again. We'll talk about this on Sunday mornings some more. And if you have any questions, or if you want to get involved, or if you need support, please reach out, godcan@imprintchurch.org. For now, we'll say goodbye. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.